Beast Wars, not. BotCon pre-reg goes up, and my wallet screams in agony. This is Geek Existence Transformers.
Now, all we need is a little Energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geek Existence Transformers.
I be your host, Eggleg Fearful, and with me be...
Spooky Grabbit and Calvacon. I'm gonna say I remember when I first got into collecting.
Predacons, terrorize!
Hello to you in Listenerville, and welcome once again to another episode of Geek Existence Transformers, episode 19, recorded March 24th, 2011. I am Weird Wolf 1975, and with me, as always, is...
Insane Galvatron.
Much apologies dished out. Life has gotten in the way, and my editing and posting of the last episode of Get has fallen by the wayside. But rest assured, I will get it out before this one. I'll record it. I'll edit it first, and then I'll edit this one, and then I'll release the last one, and then this one. So... You know, it's like you won't have missed it, but you will know that it'll be like a week or two late.
It's like, hey, what's happened? We got this podcast and then the next one like right after it. Because we don't normally release them a day apart.
No. But, like I said, life has gotten in the way a little bit. Had some stuff going on and as well as work and you know, making some personal time with me and my wife and everything. And I also got some new equipment. My PC was getting on its last legs, and I don't know if a lot of people might have noticed in some of the podcasts there was a lot of echo and background noise. A lot of that was actually my PC. I didn't realize how noisy it was. I actually have it downstairs as like a media PC now that I just store video files and stuff on.
You know, it's weird. And it must just be the program you record with picking it up, because through Skype, I never heard it.
Really? Yeah, I mean, whenever I was editing it, there was always like a loud roar in the background. And I tried my best whenever I was actually editing the podcast to mute myself when you were talking. And I don't know if Kelly actually did that whenever he was editing the podcasts in the early stages of the releases, but it was quite noticeable. But I noticed whenever I walk downstairs now, it sounds like a jet engine. And I come upstairs now, and this computer, there's like no sound at all coming from it.
So it's a media computer now, which means you keep movies and TV shows and things on it.
Basically, that's
it. So is it like really fast, since it sounds like a jet engine?
No, it was kind of slow.
Oh, I figured it would like stream the movies really fast.
No, it streams them about as fast as any other computer probably would. But that's what's been going on with me. What about you, Greg?
Well, I've had a pretty interesting last few weeks. Last week on Monday, my daughter... of course, most people may or may not know I'm divorced, so I only get my daughter every other weekend. And the Monday after she went back to her mom's, she was, I don't know what she was doing, but she was in the bathroom, and then somehow or other she fell and dislocated her knee. My daughter's 14 years old, so, I mean, but I don't know exactly what happened. Nobody seems to know. I can't get anybody to give me information, of course, exactly how that happened. But they, called 911 because she's laying there with her knee dislocated. And the paramedics showed up and popped it back into place. She went to the doctors. They looked at it. They took the MRI and discovered that there are little like bone fragments in her knee joint, which is why it's so sore and swollen still. And so she has to go in for surgery next Friday to have those little bone fragments removed, so that the joint can actually heal itself like it should. So that's been kind of on my mind and heart a lot here lately. So even though Duran has been, you've been kind of busy with your stuff, I haven't really been pushing you to get the podcasting done myself because I've been a little distracted.
Well, you were also out of town last weekend, too, when a lot of this went down.
Yeah.
Or right before it did.
Yeah, well, that wasn't as much of a... Well, actually, that was a week after she'd heard it, but she hadn't gone back to the doctor yet for the MRI. We just thought she dislocated it. Oh. Yeah, because it was the weekend I had her. The following Monday, she went home. Or she went home that Sunday, and then the very next day, she heard it. But I knew about all that, but as far as we knew, it's just dislocated. The paramedics put it back in. Everything seemed to be okay. We didn't realize she was going to need surgery until after the weekend I was out of town.
Well, that's terrible, but, I mean, you know, life does get in the way of a lot of things, and, you know, I mean, as much as we love doing this podcast and love our hobby of collecting Transformers, you know, I mean, sometimes it does have to take a back burner.
Yeah, there are other things way more
important. Rest assured, we'll always be back. We don't plan on pod fading or anything like that. That being said, let's move along.
Now it's time for Out My Wallet!
Alright, Greg, what made your wallet say ouch this week?
Oh, it didn't just say ouch. It screamed and then dropped dead. You know, it suffered a rough week. Before the big news, I had bought some G1 throttle bots from somebody on one of the message boards. All six of them in one lot. So that's a pretty sweet deal. I got them for like $6 each. And then $6 shipping, so it was like $41, $42, something like that, for all six of them. No sooner did they show up, BotCon registration went up. And that's where my wallet said, ouch, because I had, you know, pre-sold my BotCon exclusive, so you know, I used the money that person gave me for their toys, and I registered. And I thought about getting the bag set for myself, but money's a little tight because I got some other things going on that I was hoping would have paid off by now, but I'm still kind of waiting. And, you know, so I held off on the bag set, and then we bought our plane tickets, which that, you know, those also went up since the last time we checked the price. They were $408 for a round trip ticket from Kentucky to California, you know, like just 3 weeks ago, like at the end of February. And then here we were just, you know, 3 weeks later, go to buy the plane tickets. They've gone up to $521. So that made me say, ouch, even more so. Not only because I spent that, you know, the plane ticket, but I spent more than I had anticipated. And then I decided as the week went on, I was like, well, you know what? You know, the Icon package is sold out. And then I was going to get a bag set, and then they were gone. And so I'm like, you know, I'm going to have to buy the Primus package, or I'm not going to have some toys for myself. Because as our listeners remember, as we were talking about the toys at first, I was like, nah, I don't really want them. That's why I pre-sold them. By the time they revealed all five of them, I kind of was like, okay, I want at least the Stunicons. And so I ended up having to spend more on those, which we'll get more into that later in our news. But yeah, so my wallet really said ouch this week because that's all BotCon related, but it's like, yeah, a lot of money out the door.
Yeah, I completely agree, but I think I bested you on the ouch my wallet this weekend.
You did.
Or this past week with my wallet. It didn't just say ouch, it... actually jumped out of my wallet, ran away. A wolf chased it down, pounced it, only to be eaten by the wolf. And then the wolf was eaten by a Tyrannosaurus Rex, which was then swooped up by Galactus and squished in his hand.
I thought you were going to say that the dinosaur pooped out the wolf, the wolf pooped out your wallet, and then it said ouch.
No, I didn't want to get that gross.
Oh, okay.
but yeah. I too did the BotCon registration. I got my Primus package, and also got my wife a MiniCon package. I was going to get her a Primus package as well, but I've been thinking about it, and it would be a little bit more money. And yes, I could turn around and sell her set, but she was actually saying that if she got a set, she wanted to keep it for whatever reason. So I decided, you know, might as well stick with the Primus package and the MiniCon package, and went with that. You know, $512 for a airline ticket per person, so I'm having to shell out over $1,000 for airline tickets from Kentucky to California. Yeah. But if that weren't enough, I bought some animated figures from Hasbro Toy Shop. Among them, I got the Voyager Class Prime, animated Jazz, animated Ratchet, which I have yet to open. Black Arachnia, and seemed like there was one other. I can't remember right now. But, I mean, I'm really starting to like these figures. I mean, they're for so long, I'm like, yeah, meh. But the more I mess with them, and as long as I keep them on the shelf by themselves, I don't really really mind them. You know, if I set something else next to them, yeah, they kind of look play schoolish, but I really like them. But
I think
that
it's
wasn't
the
only thing.
I think it was the BotCon set that got you back into animated, because you were kind of out of it until we went through this reveal, and then you slowly started kind of warming back up to it and then started buying figures again.
Yeah, I guess I kind of went back and was looking at the older versions of the mold and realized, hey, these things are really cool. So I decided to go ahead and pick up some older figures. And Hasbro Toy Shop still has some of them. Quite a good selection. At quite a good price, so I went ahead and picked them up. And everything, but yeah, I'd gotten some money recently from a loan that I got to settle up a few things that I needed to take care of, and I figured, well, since I'm getting a loan, I'll go ahead and get a little bit more than I actually need right now. So since it's all coming out pre-deduction from my paycheck, so I really don't miss the money, and I went ahead and bought a new computer, actually a whole new setup. I was on a Windows XP machine. I had actually home built about 6 years ago, and I actually had rebuilt it maybe 4 years ago, because while I was at work one day, my CPU fan went out. My wife was at home, and she said she noticed a burning smell, and realized that it was coming from the computer, but for some reason didn't find the wherewithal to turn the computer off. So by the time I got home, the CPU was completely fried. I mean, it was literally melted to the motherboard. I'm surprised it didn't catch on fire. So I had to rebuild my PC then. I mean, seeing as it was only 3 years old and everything, and I didn't have the money to go buy a whole new system the way I wanted to, it was actually cheaper for me to rebuild then, so I did, and it's lasted till now. And now that we're doing podcasting and everything, and I, like I said earlier, I was listening to the podcasts, and I didn't think that the audio quality was the way I thought it should be. I wanted a lot more crisp and clear sound, and I wanted a little more bang for my buck out of my computer, and I really don't want to get into a Mac versus PC debate, but I did get an iMac. I know people, there's people out there that hate Macs, and there's people out there that hate PCs. Well, I've had dealings with both of them, and I've used both of them for extended periods of time, and my personal preference leans toward Mac. And I went back to iMac, and I got a 27-inch iMac, and a nice sound system for it. Got the Bluetooth keyboard that came with it, a trackpad, and I got a professional microphone, a Yeti. It's a really nice microphone. It's about the size of a Pringle can, but it's really high quality, and hopefully it's coming through here on the podcast and the Skype call.
You do sound a little clearer, I can tell.
Yeah, the ambient sound shouldn't be as bad, and lot more processing power, and also the enhanced podcast should be coming back, because ever since I took over the editing of the podcasts, I had the ability to make MP3 podcasts, but the enhanced versions, the AACs, where you could actually look at the pictures on an iPad or an iPhone and everything, I wasn't able to do that on my Windows machine. I just could not find a proper editing tool that was affordable that I could do that with. However, on my iMac, I am able to do that with GarageBand, so those will return. A lot of people that may like that will enjoy that part.
Oh, for the record, I'm indifferent when it comes to Mac versus PC. I just could never afford a Mac whenever I need to buy a computer. I just look at the retail price I have to come up with to take one home. That's why I always end up with a PC.
But, I mean, seeing what I got here, I mean, it's well worth the money. It's a really high-quality machine. And I also lucked out the other day while I was at work, and I sprung for an iPad 2. They have been sold out everywhere, and the Walmart I was in just happened to have one more case left over. And I happened to catch them at the right time. They wound up having four of them in the case. It was the 14-gigabyte Wi-Fi-only version, but I went ahead and picked that up as well, and I love it.
I thought you said it was the 16-gig that had the Wi-Fi and the 3G.
Maybe it is 16 gigs. I thought it was 14 gigs. My bad.
Well, I mean, but wait, it's got the 3G, though, right? I could have sworn you said the one you had had 3G.
No, Kelly's has the 3G.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mine's Wi-Fi-only. It's a really nice little device. I got it mainly for my wife to use. That way she leave my MacBook and my my computer alone. And because she tends to push buttons and stuff on them and not know what they do.
And, no, that's trouble.
That can be bad. Yeah. But yeah, that's my wallet really did say ouch. Oh, but the good news is my MacBook I've had for about 6 years. It was on its last legs, and this is the truly good story, and what a lot of people don't realize about Apple, how well they tend to take care of their customers. I bought a MacBook about 6 years ago, and about 4 months ago, it actually laid down on me. I was online doing some balancing and everything, and the screen kind of blinked off, and I started smelling a burning smell, and looked down, and my power cord was melting in two and actually caught on fire.
You're lucky it didn't burn the house down.
Yeah, I quickly unplugged it and snuffed it out real quick, and
kind of makes me leery about leaving my computer, my laptop plugged in overnight charging.
Yeah, it can be bad. The technician I talked to at the Apple store said the best thing to do is do not plug your laptop in until it gets near the end of its charge. It kind of helps it to rebuild, hold its charge longer. Now, whenever it gets to the point where it can't hold a charge, that's when you definitely need to replace the battery.
Now, see, I was told the opposite, that with the newer batteries, with the lithium-ion batteries, that was always true before. I don't know, like with early cell phones, they'd be like, well, run it nearly dead before you plug it up because the battery builds a memory. And so mm-hmm. if you only use it an hour and plug it in, then it'll start to get to where it only lasts an hour. But somebody was saying with the newer battery technology, it was the opposite, that it actually is only good for so many recharges. So
well, your key is newer. You're forgetting. I'm talking about a six-year-old laptop.
Oh, I see. I see.
But
I'm going to leave it plugged in. I just am leery about it now with hearing that story. It's like, ugh, I don't want to be gone to work or be in bed.
I'd still be careful with it, but, I've taken really good care of the laptop as it is, and the technician was actually surprised at how well shape it was in for its age, and he recommended that I simply get an external DVD drive to replace the DVD drive that was, it worked sometimes and then sometimes it wouldn't. The optics in it, I think the gears were just getting kind of worn because I'd ripped many, many DVDs with it. I certainly got its lifetime out of it. But for $50, I was able to pick up a external DVD drive to go with it. It was not really that expensive. So, and then the new operating system was only $30. That's another thing I love about Apple is that their software upgrades or system upgrades are only about $30, whereas if I was to go buy a new operating system from a Windows machine, I was going to have to shell out about $200 or more.
A good thing about a PC is usually you don't have to upgrade the operating system because by the time the operating system is outdated, the computer's wore out, you just get a whole new one.
Well, the current operating system, Snow Leopard, has been out for a little over a year, maybe 2 years. maybe not 2 years, but they constantly upgrade it in points. But I'd say probably within the next 6 months we'll see another system upgrade. But this isn't a computer podcast, so I want to wrap this up real quick. The great thing they did about my laptop is they replaced the battery and the power cord for free. It was out of warranty. Like I said, five and a half, maybe 6 years old. And the guy said, you know, it shouldn't catch on fire like that. You know, we want to keep our customers happy. So he gave me a battery, a brand new battery, and a brand new power cord for it. So my laptop has new life again. Upgraded the operating system on it. Got that external DVD drive, and it's like new again. I love it.
That's pretty sweet. So,
you know, hopefully the podcasts will be better from now on, you know, with the more quality tools that I'm using to edit with. And, you know, and with BotCon coming up, we're going to be talking about a little bit more here shortly. You know, hopefully we can put a lot of these tools to great use at the con itself. I'm not taking my iMac with me, but I am taking my iPad, my laptop, and hopefully we can get some interviews and stuff going on. So stay tuned for that, and let's move on to our next segment.
Time now for our
All right, eBay item of the week. We are talking about toys again, not computers. This is a Transformers podcast. Let's get back on topic, Greg.
Sounds
what
good
do you
to
got
me.
For us?
All right, this week our eBay item is the Transformers BotCon 2005 seven-figure set. The item number is 300-539-891-531. They got the starting bid at $175 with $12 shipping, and it is pretty much what it you know what it said in the title. It's the loose set. It's not the box set. There was no box set on eBay at the moment. Now you know this set was kind of a dud as far as how many they produced and how well they sold. So you're probably wondering, okay, why are you featuring it as your eBay item of the week? Well, since there's a lot of BotCon news and that's where most of our money went this week, it's been heavy on our minds. You know, we like I said, we were going to do the Beast Wars podcast, but you know, we just didn't have time to really research anything to prepare because we've been so busy. And since BotCon has been on our minds a lot with all that's been going on, why not commemorate it with the very first BotCon exclusives from Fun Publications? They took over the convention in 2005, and this was the first set they released. So there's a little historical value to this set.
Yeah, I actually own this set. It's on my display shelf right now. I personally don't think it's a really great set. I do like the Deathsaurus mold, the RID Megatron mold, but really the colors aren't that much different from Robots in Disguise Megatron. So the mold really doesn't stand out as something spectacular. Ironhide was more or less a given, and the other molds, while they're cool, they're not really.
Nothing to get
really
excited
about. Sought after.
Yeah,
no, nothing really exciting.
And I think that's what the reason I never owned this set was because I didn't go to that convention in 2005. I could not afford to take a trip all the way to Texas. Although this year I'm going further, but you know my financial situation has improved since then is the main reason. But yeah, I'm like you. And, you know, in other years that I couldn't go, I tried to get the non-attendee packages. Like 2007, I got the non-attendee to get all the Seekers. Of course, sold them in 2008, but. You know, if I wanted the set, I would get it if I couldn't go. And this was a year that it was like, I didn't care. You know, it's like, none of these toys, other than the Ironhide and Ratchet, which was an exclusive you could get at the show, you know, those were the only two that even appealed to me at all. And they didn't both come in the set. I mean, if I bought the set, I'd only get one. Now, had Ironhide and Ratchet both been in that set, I would have bought one. But it would have felt weird having just Ironhide and knowing I would never own the Ratchet because of the insane prices he went for. To me, there was just no appeal to go out of my way to get this set for this kind of money. Again, there's the historical value, but that I'm not really a BotCon exclusive collector to try to get them all to really care about that. I'm just in it for the cool figures. But I know you didn't go either. How did you end up with the set?
Well, actually, that's kind of a cool thing there. As many people may know, BotCon 2006 was held here in Kentucky, less than 20 miles away from where I'm at right now in Lexington. And so, actually, I was able to go to that convention every day and sleep in my own bed at the same time, or at night. So, you know, it was quite nice. I liked it. I hope they come back very soon. And to be honest, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't the Lexington convention one of the more popular ones as well?
Well, I think Pasadena has had the most amount of people as far as number of people.
Well, which, obviously. But
yeah, I think, I mean, I know that set is one of the most popular sets. And I know the attendance was really good. I don't know if 2007, 2008, I don't know if the attendance was any higher or not. But I do know it did better than they expected. It did better than
as far as popularity goes. I do hear a lot of positive things said about the one in Lexington.
Yeah, especially compared to the one in 2005. I think it surprised them because they had the 05 convention where they had this set. It was in Texas, which was close to where their headquarters was. And they had, you know, it did so-so. And then when they came to Lexington, they were expecting about the same, maybe a slightly better response. And it was just like it blew their mind away.
Yeah.
It just goes to show what, you know, cool toys and a good location can do for a convention.
Definitely. But at the 2006 convention, my wife and I, we partook in the casino night, which is actually returning this year for the Pasadena convention by popular demand. I do remember the casino night was quite fun. I loved it whenever they had it here. And
if only that had been real money instead of fake chips. I cleaned house that night. I was, what did we start with, like $250 in fake chips, fake money?
Something like that, yeah.
And I was at a blackjack table. I kind of went around the room trying different games. I ended up settling on a blackjack table. And I think by the time the night was over, I was up to like $8,000 or $9,000 from that $250. I mean, I just kept winning. It was awesome. And, when it was all over, I was like, you know, if this had been real money, I would have lost on the first hand and been broke.
Yeah, but I wasn't so fortunate personally. I didn't do that well. I think I might have won an autograph or something. I don't even remember.
Oh, I didn't get any prizes.
Yeah. But my wife, she somehow has a knack for blackjack, and she got on a table, and I was sitting there. I had to fold early, and she pretty much ran the table. I mean, she cleaned everybody out to my own surprise. And the grand prize, one of the BotCon people that worked there walked up and said, "Here's your prize," and handed her a bagged set of the 2005 figures.
If I'm not mistaken, the way they did the prizes that year, because I think the last time they had tried a casino night, they did it where you took your winnings and bid on the stuff auction style. And the problem they had with that was some people would go in together and, like, pool all their money. And so it was really easy to kind of dominate and get all the stuff, and they felt that wasn't fair. So this year, or that year, what they had done, because I remember being at the table, and they would come by, like, one of the BotCon guys would come by, like, the blackjack table and be like, "All right, next person to get a 21 wins a prize." And you know what the prize was. You just got, like, a ticket, and you went to the counter, and they laid out some prizes, and you picked what you wanted. I remember one guy at my table when they came up and they did that, and it was the guy to my left got a blackjack. And then he got up, went over to the counter to get the toys, and they had put up the Ratchet exclusive from that year. And he said, "Ooh, I want that." And I was so mad because, you know, I was cleaning house the whole night on that, but yeah, I didn't win any prizes. It's like I had a bunch of fake money, a bunch of tokens I'd turn in. I got nothing. And like I said, your wife was playing, and they come by and make whatever stipulation they made to get a prize, and she gets, you know, the whole 2005 set.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody at the table was absolutely floored. It's like, she just won the entire set. I mean, just handed it to her. The whole set. At first, we thought it was maybe just, you could clearly see Deathsaurus in the set. And
the bag and a couple
wrapped
others, pretty
tight. But where they was wrapped pretty tight. And we thought maybe it was just a couple of the figures, not the whole set. But no, we got up to our room, and or not to the room, but to home, and opened it up. And sure enough, it was the whole set. And everything, so that's why I still have it today, more or less for sentimental value. My wife, you know, she won it. She's pretty proud of it too. I don't think she'd ever let me sell it. You know, I mean, I'd love to keep the Deathsaurus out of it, but the rest of it, kind of meh on. But, you know, it was cool how we came about getting it.
Well, this year, with the return of the casino night, and from my understanding, there are still a lot of the bagged sets from last year on the club store. Who knows? Maybe somebody could win a 2010 bagged set.
It's possible. I mean, I'd like to get another breakdown. That'd be pretty cool. But, this set here, like we said, it's not the most popular set, but it was Fun Publications' first attempt at BotCon exclusives. So you got to cut them a little slack. I mean, it's still a nice set as far as, you know, aesthetics goes. The colors are nice and bright. The mold choices probably could have been better. And they really didn't... I think they tried to take a page out of the Joe-Con book, playbook there, mm-hmm. and just make a lot of troop builders and just random new characters or characters that people really didn't know anything about.
Yeah,
it just didn't fly.
They quickly learned the difference between Joe fans and Transformer fans. Because I guess in the Joe community, that goes over really well. Just release a box with multiple figures in it, all new characters, and the people would eat them up. And then, like you said, troop builders. And they tried that here, and they quickly found out with the most popular toys being, you know, the Ironhide and the Ratchet, and the complaints with Destroyers being too similar to the original, they quickly discovered that Transformer fans want bang for their buck. They want something that's going to be a character they know and love. In a paint scheme that's vastly different than what they can buy in the stores, so you know they get something for the money they spent. And this was, you know, again, their attempt to try to do what they were doing with Joe's didn't work out too well, but it was a learning experience for them. I mean, they got it right the next year with the Beast Wars pre-Earth Modes set. And I think what really makes this special is every BotCon before this or OTFCC. You know, even if you had multiple toys, they were sold separately. You know, like you'd have convention, you know, Souvenir 1 and Souvenir 2. And this was the first time that the souvenirs came in a box set like this, to where, you know, you couldn't just buy an Ironhide. You know, you had to get the whole pack together, which, again, was something they carried over from the Joe-Con, and that has actually carried over well. That aspect of what they tried has held over, and it's been quite successful. They've discovered that if they put a good story in there with characters we know, reimagine them as repaints of other things, so that when you get the box set, you get the whole story in a box, not just one toy. That has turned out to be quite popular, and a lot of people like collecting their exclusives that way. And I have to agree, I kind of like the concept. I wasn't real sure about it in 2005 when this set was released. You know, I was like, well, you know, what if I only want one or two of those? I don't like being forced to buy them all and spending $300. You know, whereas before you could spend, you know, $50 for one, you know, and $40 for another. But, you know, it actually, when you look at the number of figures you get in the box compared to, you know, what a single figure would cost in the past, it's actually a pretty good bargain. And, you know, so I feel like I get more bang for the buck this way.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I also like how they're packaged in the box. They look really nice. I mean, the box is not really sealed. I mean, you can just lift the top of it off and take the figures out, kind of look at them, and put them back in the box, and it's just as good as it was the moment you picked it up at the pre-registration tables. But, you know, one thing that is different with this year's set, that this set here that we're talking about and the previous and all the other all the other years that had a box set, they all came with six figures. This year, the box set is only five. But there is a reason behind that.
Well, I know the very first one we're looking at here on our eBay item had seven, didn't it? Yeah, it had.
Let's see here.
Yeah, it had seven figures, and then 2006, I think they went down to. I think there were only five in 2006 because it was the ARC crew. Or not the ARC crew, but it was the crew of whatever they call the Maximal ship in Beast Wars. Were there only five and that's it?
I was thinking there were six.
So you had Primal, Rhinox, Rat Trap, Cheetor, and Dinobot.
Wasn't there an Air Razor in there as well?
No, she was she was a club exclusive the next year.
Okay.
Tigatron was the freebie. He was a repaint of Cheetor, and then you had your Predacons were available in the at-show exclusives. Yeah, so I think 2006 only had five toys. And in 2007 was 5 again. You had the Three Seekers, Bug Bite, and Dreadwing, Darkwing, whatever he was called. So yeah, they've been pretty consistent with 5. What year? There was a year that had 6, but I can't think which one it was.
I was thinking the norm was 6. Maybe I'm wrong.
I was thinking there was a 6 in there. I thought the first set was 7, and then I thought they dropped to 6 for a while, and then this year was the first time dropping to 5, but no, I can only recall 5 figures out of each set now.
Maybe I just need to lay off the hash or something.
I'm not that familiar with what was in the 08 and 09 sets. 08 was Shattered Glass. 09 was Wings of Honor, so we'll have to look those up and see if they had 6. Because I'm thinking 6 too, but I'm not sure where I'm getting that from.
Well, that's enough about the eBay item of the week. Let's move on to our next segment.
Reporting directly from HyperCon, this is the Cybertron News Network.
All right, in the Cybertron News, we've got more BotCon news. It's what's big in the fandom right now, so that's what we're talking about. We had planned on a Beast Wars segment for this year, this week. We announced it in the last episode. But due to, other factors like we mentioned before, we didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare for this podcast and get some Beast Wars material together. So we will do a Beast Wars episode, but just not this week. After we get through talking about the BotCon stuff here, it'll pretty much be it for the week. But, Greg, you want to kind of go over a couple bullet points we have here?
Yeah, the first one, since we were just talking about, BotCon sets and, how many figures came in a box, well, the news that just dropped today is that BotCon.com has put up the box art for this year's BotCon set. It's the Stunticon box, and I'm really digging it. It's a black box with a lot of purple, with purple trim. It's got, like, Detroit, the cityscape in the background, kind of like in, gray, so it doesn't really stand out, but it's back there, noticeable. And then you have the new Stunticon symbol in the middle, which is like the checkered flag with the Decepticon in it, with the checkered flag running across the box. And then you have the artwork for the 5 Stunticons, faces around that Decepticon symbol. And apparently the name of the set this year, because they always have a name for it, this is the Stunticon Job. And you see that they got the names of them, which you have, your Breakdown and your Wild Rider and your Dead End and your Drag Strip. But I like Motor Master isn't just Motor Master, he's the Motor Master, which kind of plays back to that little blurb they gave as far as, what the story's really about, that they're like a, carnival crew kind of thing. So they're a stunt crew, they do stunts in a carnival, and he's not just, Motor Master, he's the Motor Master. And I think that's a nice touch.
Yeah, I like the looks of this box set. It's pretty sweet. I do believe, isn't this is the first set that's all Decepticons, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think all Decepticons. The 06 set was all one faction, but it was, it had one. Dinobot was in it, because he ended up being a Maximal in the show, but before they reformatted, I guess he would have still been a Predacon. So yeah, I think this is the only set that is all one faction. They usually try to split it 50-50, except for 06 when it was mostly Maximals. But there was that one Predacon in there, who eventually became a Maximal. But yeah, I think this is the first one that's just completely dedicated to one faction.
Yeah, I the box art on this, at first glance you're like, wow, it's kind of plain. But the more you look at it, it's kind of pretty with the purple and the black. It offsets pretty well.
Sometimes simple
and then
it's is
got
better.
Got a mugshot of each one of the characters there.
Yeah, the simple is good. Simple is good sometimes, and I'm digging the way this looks.
Yeah, I am too.
It'll make a nice backdrop for the figures. I can just see posing those 5 figures in front of that box on a shelf.
Yeah. Yeah, I could too. Although it's kind of funny though. I know it's always the BotCon logo, but just the BotCon logo with the Autobot insignia on it, it's like, okay, you'd think it'd be an Autobot-centric convention with that symbol, but no, the the box set is all Decepticons.
Yeah, I'm wondering where that symbol will be on the box, because, you know, it's just on the image here, it's just kind of over in the corner, but it's not really on the box itself. Now, the front of the box, I don't see the symbol anywhere, but I think the box set usually has it.
Yeah, it looks like there on the side, you can kind of see the Stunicon symbol in the middle of the box there.
And then just to the left of it there, yeah.
Just to the left of it, yeah, that's where it looks like it's at.
It would have kind of made a little more sense if they would have replaced that Autobot symbol with Decepticon in their logo for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure if there's any kind of, you know, restrictions on what they can do with that. You know, with permissions from Hasbro, maybe they have to always use the same logo. But I mean, I would think, like you said, given this is a Decepticon box set, it would have been nice if they would have switched the symbol just for one show.
Yeah. But it's still a pretty nice box set there. This set is pretty popular, though. I know whenever pre-registrations went up earlier this past week, I was able to get in the first maybe hour and a half or so of the pre-registration. I just happened to have just gotten home whenever I got the tweet that the pre-regs were up, and I came right in here and got on my computer and began the arduous task of pre-registering, and their system was very, very bogged down from server overload.
Now, when you called me, was that before or after you tried to register?
I was just typing in the address whenever I called you.
Okay, because I tried to do it from my phone, and I couldn't get past the login screen. It was so busy. And even with the Verizon 3G, which usually works very well, with between the server being slow and then I guess even the 3G, it times out after a little while. I could never get past the login screen.
Well, it did time out a lot on me on the actual internet, but it would get to the point where I would select the package that I want. You know, I wanted the Primus package with the Minicon set. I would go down and click continue, and it would just sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there, and then it would time out. It did that to me three times before I was able to go through. Now, the bad thing is that I went through, whenever I finally got pre-registered, went through and got the Primus package, the Minicon package. I added on the Hall of Fame ceremony, which is $45 this year, which last year it was actually included with the convention price, wasn't it?
Yes, but we did not have a casino night. That's what happened was the casino night is what's included, so it's not like we're getting less for our money. We're just getting two events instead of one, and the second one you have to pay to go to.
Yeah, but I added the Hall of Fame event, which was $45. I added that for both my wife and I, and I also added on a T-shirt for both of us, and it seemed like there was something else I threw in there. I thought about throwing in a bag set, but I didn't, because that was going to be an additional $210. But then I went through the checkout and it entered in my credit card number, and I'm like, please, 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 please take. And I went down, I made sure the numbers and everything were right on the credit card and everything, went down and clicked process order, and then I glanced up while it was processing that, and I noticed that my wife's Hall of Fame option and all the t-shirts had dropped off the order. So I actually had to go back and repurchase her Hall of Fame dinner. You know, of course, that was before they told us not to do so until the following day. You know, I mean, they weren't really on top of it as far as that was concerned. It seemed like their attention was divided elsewhere.
And it was.
Whenever they realized that people weren't able to get every package that they wanted on the first try, it took them maybe an hour, maybe two, to get this. I'd say maybe an hour. It's whenever Pete made the tweet. It kind of rhymed. But whenever Pete at BotCon made the tweet on Twitter that, you know, for those of us who had ordered a Hall of Fame dinner and not gotten it he said, please do not go back and add it on until tomorrow, because if you did, then you would get charged an additional $6 processing fee. Well, you know, I went back and added it on and went through all this process and got that done before they made this mention.
So you paid the $6 processing fee and then found out if you'd have waited, you wouldn't have to pay the $6 processing fee. Yeah,
but see, at the time that I did this, I wasn't sure. They were selling out quickly. They announced 3 hours after pre-registrations went up that the Primus packages were 50% sold out already. Mm-hmm. Knowing this information, plus the fact that the servers were really, really overloaded, I wasn't sure how many seats at the Hall of Fame dinner. They later assured us that there were plenty, but I wasn't sure at the time how many seats were available at the Hall of Fame dinner. And I'm right. Like, well, I don't want to have to go and make my wife stay behind at the motel room twiddling her thumbs.
Right.
If she was going to have to do that, I was just not going to go.
Right. And that was one of the thoughts with, it being an extra charge. People were trying to figure out, well, why is it an extra charge? And that was one of the thoughts, was that maybe the venue they were using wouldn't be big enough to accommodate all the Primus package members. So therefore, it was an additional charge. So those who want to go the most, that are willing to pay to go, could go. And then, of course, it's just first come, first serve if they sell out. So, yeah. So with that, speculation running around, I can see why you'd be like, well, I don't want to wait, because if I don't, if it sells out, like you said, she'd be left behind.
Yeah, and I didn't want to waste that money, so I went ahead and did it. It was kind of crappy of them. I mean, if they realized the moment they saw this, they needed to make announcement on the BotCon website, on the TCC website, all collectors' websites, Twitter, Facebook. They needed to get this information out there fast, but they took their time. It took them at least an hour, and at the rate that these box sets and everything were selling, 3 hours, 50% sold out. They were moving fast. They needed to get this information out there faster. And they just weren't equipped to do that.
Well, there's a reason for that, and this was something I learned later that I think, again, I don't know if anybody remembers, we weren't recording this podcast last year, but last year they'd gotten in the free toys that the Dion figure for club members, as well as the Punch, Counter Punch, and Shattered Glass Cyclonus exclusive figures last year. Well, I guess they all were in the same batch when they shipped them from China, when they had them all manufactured, as the convention toys for last year. Because here it was, the week before the convention, they're putting them in the mail and emailing people, letting them know, hey, your stuff's on the way. Some people just had Dion showing up at their door like Wednesday, Thursday. And, of course, that was a full week before the next convention, because the convention was the following Thursday. But it was at Disney, so a lot of people were making a whole week out of it, you and I included. We were leaving Friday night to drive to Florida, and spend the whole week down there and have the convention at the end of the week, the last weekend. And so a lot of people that were going to BotCon were going to be gone that whole week. And here they are, Wednesday, Thursday of that week, still dropping packages in the mail for your people's toys. And it's like they don't realize this, could show up people's door, be left at the doorstep and sit there for a week because they're gone. And I know there's a lot of people buying exclusives that don't go to BotCon, but a lot of the people who do go to BotCon buy the exclusives. So a big chunk of the toys they're mailing out were going to people who weren't going to be home. And to me, it was like, that's a really boneheaded thing to do, because it's like, you should know a large amount of the people who bought these toys are coming to our convention. There is a large overlap there. Especially since most of the people who had the free toy are club members, and you had to be a club member to get the discount at BotCon, and it's ridiculous not to get the club membership, because you pay $40 for the membership, you save $50 to $75 on the Primus package. So a lot of the people these are going to are going to be at the convention. Everybody at the convention is getting one of these toys. And so why mail them out when they're going to arrive while people are on their way to your convention? They stopped shipments, and people pointed that out. People get worried. Hey, I spent all that money for Counter Punch. He sold out within hours. I don't want him showing up my doorstep while I'm in Florida for a week, and then he ends up getting picked up by somebody in the neighborhood.
Or rained on and destroyed.
Yeah. So they finally stopped sending out shipments. But it just after that, I was not surprised they did what they did. But I later found out that as far as this week, somebody tried to call. Because they had some kind of problem with the registration, And I think they eventually even put up a notice, hey, we turned off the phones, so don't try to call if you have a problem, just email or Twitter or whatever. And the reason why is because they're busy with JoeCon. I think it starts tomorrow. They probably have their pre-registration. I don't know the schedule for JoeCon. I'm not really a joke collector, but if it's the same format as BotCon, it's this weekend. So they were basically saying, okay, we're putting up registration now, and then we're on our way to Florida for JoeCon, and we're going to be doing this, so we can't take any calls because we're going to be out of the office. We're only going to communicate over the internet from Florida, you know, for tweets and emails and stuff. And again, I'm thinking, I know they're a small company, you know, and they probably only got a handful of employees, and it's probably, and they're probably not even staffed year round, you know, so they try to group this stuff together to make the most. Okay, when we're together, let's get as much done as we can. But still, you've got to think of your customers. Common sense tells me if you're putting on JoeCon this week and you're not going to be available, then why open the registration this week? Why not wait until the Monday after JoeCon? That way you're done with JoeCon, you're not distracted by putting on a G.I. Joe convention, and you can focus on pre-registration stuff. So you can be manning the phone so people have problems and they call, rather than telling people, hey, well, don't bother calling if you have a problem. And you know, because like with you, you could have called to try to get that added on without paying another registration fee, but, you know, instead you had to just try to go through the system again. Oh, but you didn't get the tweet in time. It's just a really poor way of handling it. Now, don't get me wrong. The convention is a blast. I love going. They do put on a good show when you get there.
And they're super nice. Don't get us wrong on that. We're not bashing them.
No,
we're
not
pointing out some mistakes.
Right. They're really nice people, and they put on a good show. I don't want people to think I'm, like you said, that I'm bashing them or putting them down. But some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that they do on the business side of it, they escape rational thought to me. I just don't understand the mindset. It's almost as if, like, if you play chess, you're supposed to think two or three steps ahead. It's like they're not. They're just looking at this step. You know, it's like, okay, all these toys came in. Let's hurry up and get them out to people. And then, you know, next week we're going to go to the convention. You know, it's like they're only looking at it from their perspective. Let's get these toys out the door so we don't have to worry about shipping them when we come back. Let's get all the toys shipped out, and then we can pack up everything and go to BotCon, and then we're done. Not thinking about the other side of the coin, we're receiving the packages while we're at BotCon. And it's kind of the same thing here. It's like they're going, let's get the registration up, so that'll all happen while we're at JoeCon. It's, you know, they need to think about it from the customer perspective first. I mean, because otherwise, like I said, they do a great show. They're really nice people, and they're good to talk to at the convention. They're real friendly. But they just make a couple decisions now and then that kind of make you scratch your head, because there were a lot of people who had a lot of headache with this registration that could have been avoided had they just held it off a week.
Yeah, I completely agree. And seeing as how the servers, you know, I expected slow servers whenever I got there to pre-register. But nowhere near this. I didn't expect them to time out or crash. Now, they did crash last year, though, didn't they?
No, last year went smooth as silk. They had the test thing first, because that was the first year they did the online registration. And they did a test where they wanted everybody to go on there, as many people as they could at a certain time, and, you know, try to crash it. And they didn't. And when registration went up, it was smooth as silk, because I had my iPhone. I didn't have the Droid phone last year. I was using my old first-gen iPhone with just Edge Network. And I had... The minute registration went up, you know, I saw that it was up. I logged on. I logged in. I signed up. I was done. It went smooth as silk. And I don't think anybody reporting problems last year. So I don't know if there's just that much more interest in BotCon this year, or if, you know, something's different. Maybe they tried to cut back and save a little money on the servers by not having as much bandwidth. I mean, I don't know what's different. But, I mean, last year it worked smooth. But this year it was problem after problem.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot more there as far as problems are concerned that I was just not prepared for. You know, I expected to get in there. I expected the servers to be slow, but not, you know, kick me all the way back out. And another thing that kind of really didn't make sense, although... I can kind of see why there may be a necessity for it, but they put a 7-minute, maybe 8-minute timer. Or was it 9? Well, it's somewhere between 7 and 9 minutes you had to fill out this form. Okay, now, if you have clicked a button to proceed on, to go to the next page, and you're sitting there waiting for this page to load, the timer is still going.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be... You know, get to the first page, fill it out, click next, wait 30 seconds to a minute for the next page to load. Fill that information out. Click next.
I didn't get page two, so I waited much longer. I waited longer than a minute. Yeah, I timed out, you know, by the time I got to do page two.
Well, that's what I was doing. I did three times on the third page. It timed out on me. I got to the third page with about 5 minutes remaining each time. And then once I filled the fifth page out, clicked next, it would just sit there and time out after 5 minutes. And it was really, really frustrating. And then the dropped options or the items off the order form was just inexplicable. Nobody can seem to understand or can seem to explain why that happened.
Well, there was another glitch that I don't think they're aware of yet, which I think by the time people realize it was a glitch, it's too late. Because we had our other news story here, but the loose bag sets have sold out. Now, as I had mentioned earlier when I at the out of my wallet, I had, when going originally going through the registration, I wanted to get a bag set for myself, but again, there were some financial things. I was like, well, you know, maybe I should wait, try to sell a few things, come up with a couple $100, and then pick up a bag set. And that's why I ultimately passed the first go-through. And then a little later, I decided, well, you know what? Of the other money I've got set aside for other things, I'll just go ahead and spend it, make sure I get the bag set, and then try to sell some stuff to replenish it. And when I tried to go back through, I wasn't getting the option for the bag set. Because I was going down, there's not, you know, you go to pick your promise package or whatever. I'm like, well, I already have that. I'm just adding a bag set. And you go down to, you know, nothing because you're just using this registration for add-ons. And the bag set wasn't coming up, so I thought, has it already sold out? This was before it sold out. And come to find out, it hadn't. And I couldn't figure out why the option wasn't there. But then after it finally did sell out, this is when I discovered what happened. I'm like, well, you know, here's when they said it sold out. I tried before that to buy a bag set. I couldn't. And what happened was apparently some bag sets would pop back in stock every now and then. People would report, hey, I was just on there and there was bag sets. And what happens is, because you have to have a box set in order to buy a bag set, it doesn't take into account a previous run through the registration system. Like, I've already bought, you know, I already bought a Primus package. Now I'm wanting to add the bag set. Well, it's only looking at what I've got in my cart right now. If you don't select the Primus package the first time through, the option for a bag set wouldn't even come up. So even though I was eligible to buy the bag set, I already bought a Primus package, it wasn't even giving me the option. Unless I wanted to buy a second Primus package, and then I could have gotten the bag set, you know, to go with it. But then that would have defeated the purpose. I just wanted a set of figures for myself because I've already sold my Primus package box. So what I ended up doing was then after it sold out, and then I found that out because somebody had said, hey, the bag sets are back available. I tried to go log in and buy one, and I posted, it's not there. And so the guy that said he saw it went back through, and he's the one who found the mistake. He was like, yeah, you're right. When I did it, like you said, with not picking a Primus package, it wasn't there. He said, I went back a page or two, picked the Primus package, it was there. And so there was the bag sets. I could not buy one because I could not get the option without buying yet another Primus package. Of course, then we get the news that the Icon sets had sold out. Those are the non-attendee packages. So we hadn't got another percentage update on the Primus packages, but obviously the bag sets are gone, or supposedly were gone, but a couple had popped back in stock. And then they were gone again. Later, people confirmed that even with adding a Primus package to cart, the bag sets were gone. The Icon sets were gone. And as you said, after just a few hours, the Primus packages were half gone. I'm like, I'm going to miss out on these toys if I don't just go ahead and buy another Primus package. So that's what I did. I used money I had set aside for something else, bought another Primus package, and, you know, kind of a little nod here to our listeners, if you want to go check out your Geek Existence, I will have a thread up with some toys for sale here. Probably by the time you're listening to this podcast, the thread will be up. Got to sell some stuff to get that money back. I need it for other things, so please help me out. I had to buy a Primus package that way. And, of course, the bags that were sold out, I had no option, but it didn't matter because I didn't need them again. But yeah, that was a glitch that they obviously were not aware of, is that if you got the Primus package and then decided later to add a bag set, you couldn't without buying a second Primus package. And that's kind of annoying for those of us who just wanted to get just the bag set with the Primus package we already bought.
Yeah, and now it is official, though. The loose sets and the Icon sets are sold out. The box sets, As of 3 hours into pre-registration, they were 50% sold out. I would imagine, with just a rough guess and not seeing any other information, I'd say they're pretty close to getting sold out, if not already.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've been waiting all day for the notification that they were sold out. I keep expecting it. I do know that they said based on the rate they're selling, I think Pete at BotCon had posted that if you were on the fence, don't wait till this weekend. They'll probably be gone by Friday. Hmm.
And, you know, I would say, if I had to rough guess, I would say they're at least 90% sold out already. So if you're going to pre-register for BotCon and we get this podcast out quickly, I would check, I would pre-register now. Do not wait. If you have to borrow the money and you want to go, go ahead and do it now, because don't wait like I did last year. You know, I had you register me, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks before the con?
Mm-hmm. It was pretty close.
You know, I was at work, told you, go ahead and sign me up real quick. I'll pay you back. And, you know, I waited, you know, within pretty much the 11th hour. But this year doesn't look like you'd be able to do that. The only way, once these sets are sold out, you can get into the con is show up at the front door and pay the...
they have a package for attending only where you get the badge and the comic and stuff. You just don't get any toys.
Yeah, that's just it. That's your only hope once the sets are sold out.
Yeah.
But you won't get these toys unless somebody's willing to unload them at the con, and you're going to pay through the nose for them.
Right. But, I mean, if somebody wants to go to the convention and they miss the toys, because if you just do general admission, you only get in Saturday and Sunday. You don't get any of the perks like the casino night and all that. But there is a package. I think it's around $115 or so. That gets you in on Friday for the early, you know, dealer room preview, as well as things like your casino night, and you can get the Hall of Fame dinner, you know. So you can still have a good convention. You can buy the at show toys, but you'll miss the box set. If you want the box set, you need to register quick. If for some reason financially you can't, you know, don't let that discourage you from going to the show. It's still a lot of fun. You can get some of the at show toys. But it seems like a lot of money to pay just to get in, $115 to get no toys to go with it. But the show's probably worth it. I mean, to me, it's like I look at the money I spend for the toys and the show's free. It's how I've always kind of viewed it in my head. But it's probably not the case. The show is worth something. So.
Yeah, me personally, the dealer room is my favorite part. I mean, just walking into a large room, that it's Transformers toys overload. I mean, it's just everywhere. Just about any toy you can that you can imagine or want to see under the Transformers banner. And some that are not, are in there.
Mm-hmm. I bought a GoBot last year.
Yeah, you bought a GoBot. It was your first purchase at BotCon last year, too.
It was a Psykeel. He was dead mint, and the guy only wanted $20 for it. I couldn't pass that up.
But aside from the dealer room, it's just the experience. I mean, it's a BotCon is a time when, as a Transformer nerd, you don't have to be ashamed going into being a grown adult going into a store looking at toys. I mean, you're at a point, you're going to be at a place where people will knock you out of the way just to get to the toy that's on the table in front of you. It's not quite that rough and tumble at a convention, but you know, it's very fun, and meeting other people that you may converse with on the message boards or on chat that you have either never met in person or you never see them or never even knew what they looked like. You actually meet them at the convention, sit down, talk to them, you know, walk around the convention with them, talk to them. It's really cool. Met some great people that way. And I look to meet some more this year. I can't wait. It's truly an experience for a Transformers fan.
Absolutely.
In and of itself.
Yeah, well, if it weren't for the toys, I don't know that I would go all the way across the country if I had to pay the $115 to get into the show. But like you said, even if the dealer room, you got to get in there Friday if you got some grails you're looking for. If the convention were closed, like if I lived on the West Coast somewhere and I missed the toys, I would probably still go just for that. I don't know if I'd fly across the country if I miss out on the toys, but if you're on that side of the country, I would definitely do it anyway.
Most definitely. But, I mean, if you know, it's not like, and to be honest, the toys alone are not what's
getting me flying all the way out to the West Coast. It's the experience and the fact that, you know, the new the Dark of the Moon movie is on the horizon. It's only going to be a few weeks after the convention that it's actually going to be in theaters. There is a high possibility we'll either get a preview or even an early showing of the movie. I would think, you know, I mean, that's possible. Yeah, we're having to pay $45 for the Hall of Fame.
Well, we are a month. Well, they say we're getting a snack bag and 3D glasses, but we are a month before the movie opens. Now, granted, this one wasn't held up by a writer strike. It could be in the can a month before the opening date. But, you know, if it's not, I'd say at the very least we'll get to see some scenes, and they'll be in 3D. Yeah, so I think we're at least that. You're going to at least get to see a few fight scenes. I think in 09 when it was in Pasadena.
That's pretty much what I'm expecting is a preview, and I would expect some of the actors to actually be there as well, since it's right there in Hollywood pretty much.
Right. Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, in 09 when it was in Pasadena, they showed like the clip of Devastator combining. I mean, you know, this was before the movie was released. But again, that one was hampered by a writer strike. The movie wasn't complete at that point. So yeah, I think at the very least we're going to see scenes, you know, hopefully actually get to watch the movie, you know, if it's done by then, you know, but I wouldn't count on that. That would just be like a, you know, squee bonus.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would at least expect to see some scenes. I mean, why would they give you 3D glasses and this movie's going to be in 3D? I mean, that pretty much tells you you're going to see something from the movie.
Yeah. That's what I'm expecting. We still haven't got the, any of the guests announced yet. I'm looking for some high profile guests for this one as well. This is supposed to be the biggest convention to date, so I would imagine, you know, we're going to have some really big voice actors and actors there. Who knows, we may even get to see the Bay himself, you know.
I hope there's not an explosion.
Yeah, I hope not either. If there is, I hope it's controlled and it's very cool. Just as long as they don't use shaky cam.
Yeah, no. Well, we'll be the shaky cam because you'll be there in person watching it.
Most definitely. Well, I don't have anything else left to talk about tonight, unless you do, Greg.
No, I think that's got it. We're just about to have a BotCongasm. The show needs to hurry up and get here so we can attend.
Most definitely. We're still going to have some more BotCon related stuff as it comes. You know. We're going to be very BotCon laden heading up to the show, because like we said earlier, this is a Transformers podcast and this is the big news in the fandom, so we're going to be talking about it at length and having fan discussions. We're going to try to get some other people on to talk about BotCon. I've shot Pete at BotCon a email asking him if he'd like to come on the show and actually talk about it, but have yet to get a response. But
so
like you said,
listeners,
you know,
bombard Pete with emails and private messages. Tell him to be on our podcast if you want to hear.
Yes. You know, I can kind of understand one of the reasons why he may not have responded is because I didn't realize JoeCon was so close, and it's possible he's had his hand in that as well. So, you know, he's probably been very busy.
Now, yeah, on the weeks now where there's not a lot of BotCon news, we may not talk much about it. Really, at this point, all we have left is leaked toys confirming the rumored at-show exclusives and potentially, you know, naming guests. But other than that, though, I don't think there's a whole lot left for us to really have news about it past this, now that we've seen the box art.
Well, you know, you never know, though. I mean, it's something we love to talk about, but... I believe that'll do it for this episode of Geek Existence Transformers. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
This has been Geek Existence Transformers, a GeekExistence.com presentation. Check out our other podcasts, Geek Existence Gaming for the gaming geek in you, and Geek Existence Science and Tech for your sci-fi, science, and tech interests. Both are available on iTunes as well as our website. You can interact with us by visiting our forums on our website at geekexistence.com/forums, or by following us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekexistence. Search for us on Facebook and send us a friend request. We'd also love to hear from you via email. Our address is geekexistence@gmail.com. Your hosts for this episode were Werewolf 1975 and Insane Galvatron. No hamsters or squirrels were harmed in the making of this podcast.